Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word read from the Old and New Testaments. We pray now as we open our hearts to you that you would speak and bring its message home to each of our hearts, Lord. Please shape and form us as a community of your people that we might glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we come to the final chapter of the book of Jonah. In 2 weeks' time, we'll finish the series with a talk from Matthew's Gospel, connecting Jonah and Jesus. And in that passage of Matthew, we hear Jesus taking the Jonah story and using it to teach about himself. There's a bit of a ring on the microphone. Are we able to take that off? But for today, we want to consider the conclusion to the Jonah story. And it is a striking ending. It's left completely open with God asking a question of Jonah. Should I not be concerned about that great city, the city of Nineveh? In this life, we will never know if Jonah came to see things God's way. The book leaves the story without a conclusion, because it directs the question to us. And that's going to be our focus today, particularly towards the end of this sermon. To give you a roadmap, there are 4 sections to this talk, and it will be helpful if you have the Bible passage open at page 928. So firstly, the book of Jonah is about God's compassion. His compassion both for violent Nineveh and for angry Jonah. Chapter 3 that we studied last week is about God's compassion to the Assyrians in Nineveh. And chapter 4 is perhaps surprisingly about God's compassion towards Jonah the Israelite, and then more widely to the audience, the original audience of the book, the Israelite community. Jonah needs God's compassion just as much as Nineveh. Let me recap the story so far. Yahweh the Lord commands Jonah to go and preach against the capital of Assyria, the foreign city of Nineveh. He sends him because of the city's wickedness, but Jonah disobeys God and flees in the opposite direction. God brings him back by means of a storm and a great fish. Again, Yahweh the Lord commissions Jonah to go to Nineveh and to call its people to repentance. This time Jonah obeys. Amazingly, the Ninevites respond to the message of this foreign Israelite prophet. They fast and pray, they give up their evil ways and violence. God sees their repentance, and he doesn't bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. God is gracious and compassionate to Nineveh in response to their repentance. Now, just suppose that the book finished at the end of chapter 3. It'd be a much more straightforward message. Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. It would be a kind of nice rounding off of the story. And I don't know if you've used the Beginner's Bible. Georgina and I loved using the Beginner's Bible with our children. Great place to start introducing Bible stories. And very accurate in its storytelling, obviously very reduced, but very accurate. But the Beginner's Bible finishes at the end of chapter 3. That's where the book of Jonah finishes. Some nice round ending. And what would the message be if that was the end of the book of Jonah? Well, it'd be something like this. God is compassionate and turns back from judgment when people repent from their evil ways. Therefore, take the message of God's judgment and God's compassion to others. Be a compassionate church who go out with the message of salvation. Now, the book clearly does teach this message, and it's an important application for us today. However, chapter 4 makes the message more complicated, and that's our focus this morning. We find out that God has been not just interested in doing a work in the Ninevites, he's also been interested in doing something in Jonah. Jonah, remember, is an insider. He's a member of God's chosen people, the Israelites. The Ninevites are the outsiders, foreigners, idolaters. But God wants to do something in both of them. So let's move on to consider God's compassion towards angry Jonah. In chapter 4, verse 1, Jonah's reaction to God's compassion upon Nineveh is quite extraordinary. Instead of rejoicing, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. Now, why would he react like this? In chapter 3, Yahweh asked Jonah for the second time to complete his mission to Nineveh. And this time he obeyed. He did what Yahweh said, what Yahweh asked. The reader assumes that Jonah, after the storm and after the fish, has had a change of heart. He goes and does what God asks, and all goes wonderfully to plan. The Ninevites repent. God doesn't bring the judgment. He's threatened. But chapter 4 shows that Jonah's heart, his attitude deep inside him, hadn't changed one bit. He still strongly objects to God showing compassion to the Ninevites. Look at what he says in prayer to the Lord in verse 2. O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you're a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. Jonah's not happy about what's happened at all. In those words, he's referencing God's self-revelation of himself in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, when God reveals himself to the Israelites through Moses. But what an extraordinary reaction. Jonah the prophet objects to God's compassion. He doesn't like God's graciousness. No. He doesn't want God to be abounding in love when it comes to the Ninevites. And he explains this was why he ran away and got on the boat. Jonah doesn't like this aspect of God's character. And I wonder how you feel about Jonah's reaction. We hardly know what to do with it. So when Jonah ran away, why didn't God just get another prophet to do the job? He's the sovereign God. He can do what he likes. We must conclude that God was concerned about Jonah, as he was also concerned about the Ninevites. He wanted to change Jonah's heart. And God is long-suffering with Jonah. Have a look at verse 3. Jonah moans, "Take away my life. It's better for me to die than to live." God has had to put up with this rebellious and sulky prophet who doesn't actually like who God is. Yahweh replies to Jonah, verse 4, "Have you any right to be angry?" I wonder what you think. Does Jonah have a right to be angry? Jonah knows that God is in charge of the world. He's clearly seen God's sovereignty in action. God's control of the storm and the fish. Does he have any right to be angry with God if God wants to save Nineveh? Well, no, he doesn't. And Jonah's problem is that there's a gap between his understanding of God, his theology, if you like, and his own heart. He knows the Old Testament Bible, and he quotes from Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Jonah understands from Scripture what God is like, but he doesn't actually like the God that he understands. Jonah objects to God's compassion and love being for the Ninevites, those outsiders, those foreigners. And in the end, at the end of the day, Jonah doesn't like Yahweh. He doesn't like God's way of being God. And so we come to the second section. Believe in the character of God. Last week I used this color analogy, which is on the screen, to explain three aspects of God's character, which we can see in the book of Jonah. And I'm just going to explain those again for those of you who weren't here last Sunday. We're imagining that the different aspects of God's character are different wavelengths of the light spectrum. We want to have a true picture of God, a true theology, where all the different aspects of his character are combined together in our understanding. So imagine that his judgment of wickedness is the color red. And imagine that his compassion and desire to forgive the wicked is the green wavelength of the color spectrum. We need both of those to be in view if we're to have a true picture of God. When you mix the red light, judgment of wickedness, and the green light, compassion and desire to forgive, when you mix them together, you end up with a third color, a just and compassionate God. And we can see that visually, obviously the yellow is very different to the two other colors, and it's the same with the God that we worship. Unless you believe both things and integrate them, you don't believe in the real God. If we believe or focus only on one of these aspects, well, we end up by creating a false God, an idol. And that was Jonah's problem. He ran away from God's commission because he hated the Ninevites and he didn't want them to repent. Jonah accepted God as a judge of wickedness. He was very happy with that aspect of God. But he didn't accept God showing compassionate mercy to violent foreigners. So if you only see God in this analogy as red or green, you will ultimately have a thin view and an untrue picture of God. We need both to be blended and integrated. And then we've also seen in the book of Jonah that there's an emphasis on God's sovereignty. He was sovereign over the storm. He was sovereign over the rescue fish. And in chapter 4, we see he's sovereign over the plant, which we'll talk about shortly. This means that he's really in charge of the world and our lives. There's no other authority behind him. When we combine these three aspects of God's character together, we see that God is a just and compassionate God who's actively in charge of the world. Because he's sovereign, he will achieve his just and compassionate purposes. We need to believe in the character of God as revealed in the Bible. And we need to integrate these three aspects into our understanding and our theology. But more than that, as Christians, we need to embody the character of God. The surprise in chapter 4 is that Jonah did in fact believe that God is compassionate. Chapter 4, verse 2. I knew that you're gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. But believing in that sense is clearly not enough, is it? Although Jonah believed, he did everything to avoid working with God's plan. Because in fact, he hated God's compassion. He knew it was true, but he didn't like it. Jonah didn't embody this truth in his character, and that's what made him a wonky prophet. He believed in God's compassion, but he ran away because he rejected it. And this becomes the challenge for us today. Do we have the same compassion as God? We're all gathered here to worship him, to hear his word. But do we actually have the same compassionate heart that he had? God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And neither should we, if we have a heart after God's heart. Here's a verse from the prophet Ezekiel on the screen. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. We see here God desires to be merciful. This is his wonderful character revealed in the scriptures. So the book of Jonah and this verse from the prophet Ezekiel rule out any idea that God takes some kind of sadistic pleasure in his judgment. Very important point, that. The application of the Jonah story is that we must ask if there are some things that we don't want God to forgive people for. We need to ask, is there a line inside us? And if people do things beyond that line, they are in fact to us unforgivable. Prime candidates in our culture at the moment are mass murderers, child sex offenders. And the expression that you may have come across from time to time in the press and in newspapers is this expression, he or she deserves to rot in hell. People still say that, interestingly. What about members of ISIS, the Islamic State, or ISIS sympathizers? Here is an example from February this year. Good Morning Britain TV host Piers Morgan was talking about Shamima Begum, the teenager who left the UK to join ISIS in Syria and became an ISIS bride. You probably know the story. She became a mother and now wants to be repatriated to the UK. Piers Morgan's response on TV was that she should rot in hell. Piers Morgan believes ISIS bride Shamima Begum deserves to rot in hell. That was the headline. Now, ISIS is an evil movement. And of the three aspects of God's character that we're thinking about, we can see that compassionate desire to forgive is clearly missing from their paradigm of God. But God will even forgive ISIS terrorists who repent of their sin and put their trust in Jesus. Jesus was punished on the cross for even the worst of sinners. The kind of sinners who are too sinful for us. God's mercy is available to the worst of sinners. Now, in the book of Jonah, the worst of sinners are the Ninevites. But we need to ask ourselves, do I have a worst of sinners category that in fact I don't want God to forgive? People who've gone too far. People who've hurt you or hurt those whom you love. People who've betrayed you. And that may get to the nub of it. When you're betrayed, it's incredibly difficult to forgive. So it's good to ask, where is my Nineveh, so to speak? Or who are my Ninevites? The people that I actually don't want God to forgive. This starts to become the challenge of the book of Jonah for us today. Are there people that you would in fact like to rot in hell, to use the contemporary expression. Are there races or nationalities which privately you don't actually care if they become Christians or not? When we've been badly hurt, in a way that's costly to us, these kind of things and the message of Jonah becomes a big issue, a deeply challenging subject, and it is the heart of the book. Is the breadth of God's compassion and forgiveness actually wider than your own? That is the uncomfortable question that this book presses upon us. Could it be that you, or me myself, are actually Jonah-type Christians? When there is repentance, God is compassionate to all kinds of people, people who are very different from us, even people that we don't like. So we must seek to embody the character of God in our own values and priorities. Obviously not thinking that we're sovereign, but embodying it in the sense that we live under his sovereignty and we believe that his justice and his compassion are the truth. And we take those out in the way that we live. Well, we move on to our fourth and final point. Do I care for my own comfort more than I care about the salvation of others? Having a compassionate heart, like God, requires loving others more than our own personal comfort. Let's return to the story, verse 5. Jonah goes outside the city to see what God will do to Nineveh. There he made himself a shelter. He sat in its shade and waited to see what would happen to the city. Presumably at this point, he still hopes that God will judge the Ninevites. And God provides a vine. Perhaps it's better to translate it a leafy plant, because it's not entirely clear what kind of plant it was. But he makes it grow up over Jonah and gives him shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah is very happy about the vine, the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provides a worm which attacks the vine so that it withers. And when the sun comes up, God brings a scorching east wind. The sun blazes on Jonah's head so that he grows faint. A second time, Jonah says, "It would be better for me to die than to live." God replies, verse 9, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine?" "I do! I'm angry enough to die!" Well, the book closes with the final word going to God. He says to Jonah, "You've been concerned about the vine, that you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight, and it died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" In this sequence of events, God uses the vine to expose Jonah's priorities. The vine provided shade and comfort for Jonah while he'd watched Nineveh. But he didn't make it grow. It was a gift. Yahweh gave, and Yahweh took away. God is sovereign, and he can do that. Likewise, Jonah didn't create the city of Nineveh. God can do as he likes with the Assyrians. And he wants to have compassion on them. So the vine exposes Jonah's lack of compassion for people. It exposes it in contrast to his concern for his own self-comfort. He was deeply upset about the loss of the vine, but he cares nothing for this huge city, for the Ninevites facing God's judgment. And this raises the important question: Do I care for my own comfort more than I care about the salvation of others? Do we love our cars and our clothes? Do we love our computers and our happy social networks more than people repenting and receiving mercy? Do we love our sofas and our beds, our education and our social status more than people who are facing God's judgment? When we take time to think about it, the story of Jonah bites us. As human beings, we're deeply interested in our own personal comfort. I know that I am. It's a fundamental drive in our human nature. But we must love our neighbours more than our houses and gardens. As a church, we must work together to share the gospel with our colleagues and our friends and with our families. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a wonky view of Jesus, but they put us to shame with their strategy and commitment to reach people with their message. Much of the loss of comfort for us at the present moment is to do with social awkwardness. It's not really to do with material loss. It is occasionally at the moment in the UK. But it's more to do with losing face and being labelled. If we have God's compassion, we will forsake that fear. I don't mean that we will become clumsy or crass in the way that we share the gospel, but simply that we'll be more concerned about others' well-being in relation to God's judgment than we will be about our own social comfort. And that is a difficult hurdle to get over, but I encourage you to press into that. In God's compassion on Nineveh, we see his concern for one nation who were outside of his covenant at that time. With the coming of Jesus, approximately 750 years after Jonah, the flood barriers break. With the coming of Jesus, God's compassion for the nations is fully revealed. And we heard about it in our gospel reading from Matthew's gospel, chapter 28. Jesus left his key apostles with the mission from God: go and make disciples of all nations. With the coming of Jesus, it's about all nations, all nationalities, the whole world. In Jesus, the barrier between the Israelites and Gentiles was broken down so that you and I, if we're in Christ, can be fully part of God's people. With the coming of Christ, God's compassion is clearly directed towards people of any nationality. And over 2,000 years of Christianity, we've seen it expand across the world, penetrating all sorts of cultures, languages, and countries. If it were not so, we wouldn't be meeting here today in this ancient English church. We're here, and All Saints Fordham is here, because of the compassion of God shown in Jesus Christ. Because we are the foreigners, aren't we? Living 2,000 miles away from Jerusalem and the Mediterranean Sea. In this sense, we're like the Ninevites, but we've been brought in and included. God's compassion shown in Christ caused people to bring the gospel to the villages of Fordham and Atash Green many centuries ago. So, in brief conclusion, when you've been a Christian for a number of years, it can be easy to forget that you are a saved sinner. When you've become an insider properly, it's easy to forget that you needed God's compassion demonstrated in the death of his son on the cross. It's easy to forget that once you were an outsider like the Ninevites. But you and I need God's compassion in just the same way that the Assyrians did. We need it in the same way that Jonah the Israelite needed God's compassion. And there are tens of thousands of people in Fordham, Atash Green, and the Colchester region who, when it comes to God's justice and compassion and sovereignty, they don't know their right hand from their left, to use the expression at the end of the book. It means they're clueless. As a community, will we care for these people in the area where we live more than we care for our own comfort? Let's take a moment to reflect on our own. Maybe you want to pray privately and quietly to God, and then I'll lead us in a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gospel of your compassion on the wicked. Help us to remember that we ourselves are sinners saved through your compassion. When we're betrayed, give us courage to forgive our enemies. And give us compassion like yours to share your gospel in our parish, in the places where we live, and in the places where we work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.